Beast High.
Hello, podcast fans.
It's Wildcat Minute, where we talk about High School Musical 3, senior year, 1 minute at a time. I'm Condra.
And my name is Tyler.
And today we're talking about minute 80 of High School Musical 3, senior year. Minute 80 starts out with Darbus clarifying that theaters are a good partner in the process of self-discovery.
I guess, which is also a good thing for a partner in real life, too. But
yeah, unexpected. And ends with a bell ringing in a courtyard.
Yeah. It's funny. My ending of the minute, I heard the bell ring, but I hadn't cut to the courtyard yet.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, we get a little bit of that, like, interesting, diegetic, like, sound comes in before the visuals, which is a classic of movie editing, obviously. I wonder what the first movie to do that was. Like, sounds like something they would have done in M.
Yeah.
Fritz Lang, but maybe not.
Yeah.
Theater's great partner in self-discovery, which, yes, this is what Troy and Darbus have been talking about. He's realizing that the theater is a place where he can be himself. Or explore the other sides of himself that he maybe doesn't realize are part of himself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I guess this is why, like, people play villains. Like, they want to... It feels good to be Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde or the Phantom of the Opera, like... Not that someone is defined by the role they play on stage, but to sort of explore what does it mean to be this type of person on stage, which is almost why it's weird why the play they're doing is just, hey, just be yourself.
Well, I think for that, I'm going to give you how many of the people in the play are actually theater people.
Yeah, true. Like, it would have been interesting if, like, Miss Darbus had said, like, but you, Troy, will be the villain, and you, Sharpay, will be the other villain. I don't know if Ryan was the hero.
Ryan is always the hero.
Ryan is my hero.
I mean, Ryan walks in to the prom like he's just won. Who's that guy? Don't you remember, Tyler?
Who's that girl? I don't know. I was just looking at Kelsey. I wasn't even thinking about who's that guy because I was so distracted about thinking about who's that girl.
Well, that's your fault.
I guess if there had been like some extra drama in like the casting of like, oh, I want you to be in this play, but I want you to do something different and not just be yourself.
But I think for most, I think it would have only been left to Sharpay, Ryan, Gabriella, Troy, or Kelsey. Like,
yeah.
Speaking of Kelsey, what is she going to do during, like, she's both in the play, like, I'm assuming she's not playing the music while the play's going on because she's got to be in it. Like, who is she trusting to play the piano?
I guess there's, you know, either, like, a random, like, professional concert, not concert pianist. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like,
Yeah.
Play accompanying pianist who gets paid to learn the music and play it for the 2 nights that the play actually happens.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there's going to be a pit band. Maybe it's just going to be tracks. Like, there, maybe she's just recorded all the music and it's just all tracks. So
that could be it. Kind of seemed like it might have been tracks earlier, but tracks are less fun for like the spontaneity of live theater.
Yeah, it does kind of take the magic out. I agree.
Wow, what a snob I sound like. If it's not live, it's not worth it. But
I mean, especially for like the flexibility of theater where it's like, oh, like
someone falls.
Or like getting the chance to be creative with your deliveries and your timing.
Yeah.
Where it's like, or if there's an extra 10 seconds that happens leading up to a music cue, like,
yeah,
instead of having someone waiting to push the button, you just have someone waiting to lower the conductor baton and just signal that it's time to go.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Like, there's a lot more flexibility, especially with a high school production where only four, well, we don't actually know how many of the background folks have been in productions before, but we're assuming not many based on choreography practice.
It would suck if you were like someone who'd been in plays for the last 3 years and you were like, well, I guess I'm a background actor now because this is about the seniors, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess the last 2 years, like if you were a junior in this production.
Yeah. I like how Darvis is like, you seem comfortable in the theater. Like, you seem comfortable up there. Like, this feels right for you. And Troy's like, I do? Like, dude, you came here. You were called to this spot.
Well, because it was raining basketballs in the gym, so you can't just stay there.
But, I mean, then he went to the cafeteria, but he ended up in the theater.
And don't we all?
I mean,
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. I was like, do we? Like,
isn't life just a theater? If you think about it, Shakespeare, all the world's a stage.
Sure.
Yeah, I guess him not realizing that the theater is a place where he can feel comfortable. And it's interesting because, you know, we've seen Troy be comfortable on the golf course and on the basketball court.
And in the theater, like when he was doing his dance with Gabriella and he was like climbing up over Darvis and like being goofy.
The evolution perhaps is that now he feels comfortable without Gabriella here.
And I think that's what it really comes down to.
Like in the first movie, he wouldn't have stepped foot in this room if Gabriella wasn't here.
Mm-hmm.
He would have just lingered in the alcove outside the aisle.
And now he's bending over backwards on the rigging and sliding across the stage.
So Darvis comes clean with Troy. She put his name in the Goblet of Fire.
Yeah. This is my part where I'm like, Darbs, I love you, but like, how? Why? Well, we know why, because she explains why.
She says that she submitted an application in his name.
Which seems illegal.
Yeah, I guess maybe there's like a version of this where it's like, not an application, but like a recommendation.
Yeah. I think they just used the wrong word.
A letter of like imploration.
Wow. How many more Asians can we get? Dehydration.
Compensation. Imagination.
Yeah.
Deforestation. Complication.
Inhumation.
Subordination. Inhumation. Who are we putting in the ground, Condra?
Sharpay.
Great. Sure. And Troy hits Darvis after hearing the news with an, it was you.
Which is it's so good.
A great movie line that everyone deserves to get the chance to say at some point.
Absolutely. It's so good.
Also kind of a Harry Potter line. I'm thinking Goblet of Fire.
Yeah. Yeah, at the end there. Yeah, definitely.
Barty Crouch, it was you.
But I like that it's not necessarily accusatory. There's like a little relief to it. And like a little, like it's not aggressive or hurt. It's almost like there's a curiosity behind it. Like, it was you that did that? Like, why me?
It's more like when you find out who your secret admirer is and you're like, it was you? Oh.
I don't know about that.
Not that Darvis is the secret admirer in this instance, but like less of an, it was you who did that murder and it was you that sent me that flower.
Yeah, like it was he was touched by it.
You might say the boy was touched. That's Hadestown. Anyway.
No, I was just thinking of the School of Rock that I have.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've touched your children and they've touched me.
Yeah.
I always thought that it was weird that the parents took that out of context. Like, for the purpose of a comedy movie, yes, that's funny. But like, that's like, you don't have the parents react in that moment. You let the audience react like, oh, it's funny. Like when you phrase it like that.
Yeah. But like, of course the parents are going to react because they're supposed to be the like annoying rich parents.
They're scandalized because they're talking to this weird guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, any other it was you moments in a movie? I guess like Avatar, like Blue Spirit. It was you, Zuko.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But that's kind of a reverse. Like,
yeah. I'm thinking there's like an accusatory it was you in like some murder mystery kind of thing. And I'm really trying to remember what it was. what it is right now.
It's a very Poirot thing to say.
Yeah, no, that's why. I'm like, is it just a Poirot or a Knives Out or something like I've seen recently?
Clue, yeah.
Yeah, could have been Clue I'm thinking of. So she admits it because she didn't want him to have a regret later in life when he's stuck.
Not even have a regret, but like
to have the opportunity while he's still
when
young.
You're this age and you're not bogged down by jobs and taxes, like you're more free to explore the opportunities in front of you. This is that turning point in his life where he's like, okay, like let me actually consider my options. Whereas later on in life, it's so much work if you want to have to add something new like this.
Mm-hmm. And he's not mad. He's just confused.
He's just disappointed, I thought.
No,
I'm not mad. I'm confused. And that is also a
super Troy Bolton. Yeah, it's super Troy Bolton.
It does sound like something that you would say to your partner, the theater.
Yeah.
If we want to continue that riff.
I'm not mad. I'm confused, theater. Yeah.
But yeah, I guess the conversation goes on for like a little bit longer than maybe you would want. Like,
no,
she
kind of
keeps saying aphorisms.
Well, no, because I think her compliment here is what Troy needs to hear. She says that if she's learned anything in the theater, it's to trust her instincts, and that takes courage, which is what Troy has. And it really gets to the point that Darvis has been paying attention to Troy over these last 2 years. Like, she has seen him grow and try new things and almost mess up a few times. But she's seeing him for who he is in a way that his father's never acknowledged. His friends barely acknowledge. Like, he has done something incredible here. And she's proud of him, and this is her way of conveying it. And they've had a weird relationship over the last few years, but just like look at him now. She's proud of him, and honestly, it's like a touching moment. I like this line.
Yeah, you're right. I do kind of think saying that Troy has courage is like a little bit of just an exaggeration. Like, what has Troy done that's that courageous? He's the most popular and lovable boy in school.
But he stood up to his friends and encouraged, like, the breakdown of cliques. And, like, he's gone against expectations for him.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong.
Teens are not inclined to go outside of their comfort zone often. Like, they're much happier in bed than anywhere else.
I agree that, like, in context, Troy has shown some courage. Just like in the sort of melodrama of the High School Musical sphere, it's like the adversity that Troy has faced has not actually been that great.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he's not boycotting. He's not marching across the southern states in protest. Like, no, he's not doing any of that. But he's fighting his own discomfort every day. And honestly, that kind of victory should be celebrated, too, because that's important to the individual. He's got his own victories that he should be proud of.
Yeah, it's the sort of thing everyone assumes since Troy's the most popular and beloved boy in school that his life is great and that he has no problems. But he does have problems. Yeah. And it's nice to be congratulated in not superficial ways for that. Like winning a basketball championship is great. You get a trophy and you do a big celebration, but no one asks him how he's feeling or what he wants.
Yeah. And Darbus gives him a nice little small smile at the end. Like it's a nice, she's conveying she's proud of him, and we're proud of him too.
Yeah. I'm proud of him for not spending this whole scene out of breath. Like, I'm not mad. I'm just confused.
It's not live theater, Tyler.
And we get not interesting shots, but effective shots in the sense that, like, it's emotionally honest and the camera doesn't get in the way of the acting.
Mm-hmm.
The only sort of abstract thing that we get is we get one shot of, like, all of Troy, like, from foot to head.
Yeah.
On stage, which is kind of interesting. You're like, this is how Darbus would be seeing him. She'd be seeing like his whole body up on stage. But Darbus is mostly in like a medium wide shot. and Troy is mostly in a medium shot. Like, it's just, and it's, they're talking across the conversation line where Darbus is looking to the right of screen and Troy's looking to the left of screen. It's just simple and effective in that way.
Yeah, it's conveying, it's allowing the emotions and the words to stand on their own without getting lost in something else.
And maybe there's something to, like, Troy being sort of in the higher position and Darbus being in sort of the lower position, but in that way, meeting each other, like, honestly, like, Troy, I'm looking up to you in this moment, just like you should look up to yourself.
I think as well that Troy is exposed, like, he's standing on the front of the stage and...
Yeah, he's putting himself out there. And Darbus, who normally puts herself on a pedestal and, like, demands attention and respect, is subordinating herself in that way.
I also think, too, the quietness after Scream, with all the different sets and shots and movements and complexity, and now we're just having this quiet moment of the two of them just talking. Like, it's a nice, it allows the audience to live in the emotion for a minute.
Yeah, and it leaves the movie open to be like, okay, Troy feels a little bit of confidence and a little bit of assurance that things are going to be okay. Still don't know where the movie's going to go from here. They're going to put on the play. They're going to go to prom. The drama is between Troy and Gabriella, I guess, and Troy and his dad, I guess.
Well, we also have the TR Gold stuff going on in the background and the Rocket Man stuff and Sharpay trying to weasel her way to the front.
Yeah, I guess the only thing that, like, really matters for, like, the movie to feel complete, though, is we just want to see, like,
Troy and Gabriella.
What Troy decides he's going to do. And honestly, I don't even care about Troy and Gabriella. Like, they break up at the end. They stay together at the end. Like, what's the difference? I don't know. But where Troy decides to go and who gets accepted into Juilliard.
Yeah.
Because there's only one spot and it's between four people.
Yeah.
And if it goes to Sharpay, everyone's going to be mad.
Livid. She can afford it. Well, we actually don't know. Well, it's a scholarship, so yeah. So, all right. Is there anything else you have to say about this here minute?
No, I think we covered it. Time for the DCOM of the Week segment. Cue the music. Condra's in charge of the show this week. So, Condra, what have you got for me today?
Well, Tyler, I was thinking, when is this episode going to be released? The first week of April. And so I was looking at Disney Channel Original Movies. While I did not find one that got released on the exact same day this episode will be released, I did find one that would come out one day later. So I found a Disney Channel Original Movie that came out on April 5th, 2002, that I'm going to have you guess the plot of.
Oh, boy. What have you got?
I have got True Confessions. And True is spelled T-R-U.
Okay. I feel like this is a movie I've heard of, but
that would
don't
make sense
actually...
that you've heard of it because of one of the actors in it. So you ready for some actors?
Yes.
We have Clara Bryant and Shia LaBeouf.
Wow.
It is also based on the book True Confessions by Janet Tashian. So, based on a book, Clara Bryant and Shia LaBeouf, 2002, True Confessions.
Is Clara Bryant from something?
She's known for Under Wraps and True Confessions.
Wow. Not to be confused with the Nickelodeon show of the mid-2000s, True Jackson VP.
Yeah. A little bit of Kiki Palmer in there.
And Greg Proops.
Yeah.
So, True Confessions, but no teenage drama queen. Second time I've done a confessions-themed guess here. Well, it sounds like a middle or high school movie. I guess this is this pre-Holes? Holes is 2003. So Shia LaBeouf's not even, like, quite high school age yet. Still kind of middle school age. Maybe Clara Bryant, I don't know. It feels like she would be about the same age there. So I don't know. Are they siblings? Are they friends? Let's go that they're middle school friends. And I don't know. This is the era of still like early DCOMs where it's like, it could just be anything. Like it could be a concept movie or it could be like a straight like drama, not drama, but like middle of the road school movie where things happen.
Have a message behind it.
Yeah. But yeah, the idea that maybe there's this like guy friend and this gal friend who are, you know, friends from childhood and they're in middle school and sort of the world keeps pulling them apart, but they are sort of like remaining friends through it all in the sort of sky high way where it's like, mm-hmm. we always stuck together. Why are we letting this pull us apart? But more relatable to the boys and girls at home. Like maybe the Shia LaBeouf character is, you know, getting into sports or skateboarding or movie making or something that Disney thought was cool in 2002 for boys to do. And they were reinforcing gender stereotypes. Whereas the girl is learning about horses or art.
So what does the confessions have to do with it then?
The true confessions is that each of them realizes that what the other person's interested in, they're also interested in, but they're too embarrassed to tell everyone else. So Shia LaBeouf makes all of the art for the big art show. But Clara has got to pretend that it's her art because it's all girly drawings of horses, I guess. And Clara is the one who is riffing the sweet guitar solos.
Okay. I was like, how are we skateboarding our way into this one?
She like ties her hair up under the bike helmet so that no one can tell if it's who it is doing the skateboarding tricks during the edits.
Oh, okay.
No, or guitar solos. And so, wait, is it TRU?
It's TRU. That's why I also told you that.
I don't know where that comes into it. I don't know where that comes into it. Unless there's just a character named True. Or it's just 90s extreme. You got to spell something slightly differently. But yeah, so they explore gender stereotypes and...
How progressive.
I guess it's like Eddie's Million Dollar Cook-Off, but with two characters.
Yeah.
And there's the big reveal at the end where it's like, actually, I did the drawings and actually I did the guitar riff. And they realize that, I guess it's kind of High School Musical-y, but.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that anything?
I don't know. I mean, it's something. It's not this movie.
Great.
So we're going to yikes our way through this one. So bear with us.
Even more yikes than what I said?
Even more yikes than what you said. So they're twins.
Whoa.
And True is the young girl played by Clara Bryant. True is a teenager who is not necessarily happy with her life. She really wants to have her own TV show. But she's having a hard time doing that. Because her brother, her twin brother, has an, quote, unidentified learning disability caused from losing oxygen at birth. And as a result, it causes him to act like a young child, end quote. So.
Yikes.
Yikes indeed. So True gets frustrated because she's like, he's my brother, I'm supposed to love him, but also he makes things difficult for me. It's very Rules by Cynthia Lord in that respect. She also gets frustrated when her brother's teased on by their peers because of his differences, and she's not sure when she should stick up for him, when she wants to ignore him. And then she doesn't get along with her mother. True feels like her mother doesn't treat her as well as she treats her brother, who is she sees as a golden child. And the father is very distant because he's a brain surgeon. And so True finds out about this contest to submit a documentary, and the grand prize is getting your own TV show. So she gets very excited.
That's so stupid.
Yeah. So she gets really excited about it. and her mom is not supportive, and she doesn't know what to pick. So she goes on, like, these online chat rooms and, like, makes friends with this person, and it winds up being her mom because her mom uses the same advice that the chat room person gives, and True just gets more mad at her mom for having, like, tricked her like that. And the first documentary idea she has is a really bad one. She, like, shows it to her friends, and they're like, this is not good. So she ends up doing one about her brother and, like, and all, like, the positive things that happen, but also, like, how it's different to have a brother, like, his name is Eddie.
I did predict that an activity that a teen could be into was movie making.
You did.
But I did cast it as a boy activity.
Yeah, you did. How dare you?
But then I said that the activities would switch. Well, that the girl might be into the boy activity.
Yeah. So she has this interaction with her brother and a group of boys in her class that one of them she likes, but they're really mean to her brother. So she's like, okay, maybe, like, this is more important. Like, this documentary is important. And she ends up winning the contest, and it gets shown on TV. And her dad isn't able to be home to see it, so she's disappointed in that. But they find out that he watched it while he was at the hospital, and he's like, "What?" And then he comes home and he's like, "Why wasn't I in it much?" And she's like, "Cause all the footage I had of you with my brother is really bad and shows you in a bad light. So I didn't want to do that to you." And he's like, "That seems uncool. Like, I didn't realize I did that." So, like, ultimately it's about like the movie's about, like, everyone what trying to be nicer to be, yeah, like, choosing to have good relationships even when it's hard, and, like, even though they're your family, like, they still are shaping you in ways that maybe you don't even see in yourself, and until it's exposed. And yeah, it's like it's very, like, early 2000s disability representation, so it's not very good from what I gather, but, like,
like, people who are different can still make you a better person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When I was saying that, I was gonna say the movie's really about what you choose to put into a documentary. Like, do you choose to depict people as good or as bad?
Yeah, there's definitely some that in there too.
Some film theory for the young uns there.
Yeah. So that was True Confessions. I don't know if your movie or this movie was more yikes. Honestly, could go either way. I think probably a little more yikes on the 2002 one, but
my movie's yikes just in the sense that it, like, stays within gender stereotypes and tries to cross them over in a way that is arbitrary and trying to make a ham-fisted point about gender stereotypes that's inelegant.
Yeah.
Girls can do boy things and boys can do girl things.
Shut your mouth, Tyler.
I would still rather see my movie.
Yeah,
like,
see your movie.
If it was a good, like, mix of the comedy and the character drama, like, it would be acceptable to watch if the actors were having a good time.
Yeah.
But yeah, the movie you described just sounds arduous. Like,
yeah. Oh, it ends apparently with True and Eddie sitting and watching, like, a soccer game of them playing, and Eddie just keeps rewatching the same little bit where they're, like, they are having an interaction, and he's like, I don't want it to change. I like us being together. And it's like, because she starts getting reflective of how she's going to go away to college and have a family and that kind of stuff. It seems weird. I don't know.
Yeah, that sort of, like, Disney Tiger Cruise melodrama.
Yeah, yeah. It's like The Color of Friendship, Tiger Cruise, definitely. Like, we've got, yeah, that's like Disney's jam in this era, I feel like, is these melodrama for kids.
Yeah, weird.
And it is on Disney Plus.
Wow. Very, very, I guess I'm very curious to see, like, where this role, like, lies in the Shia LaBeouf acting.
I'm just confused when Even Stevens is. Because isn't Even Stevens happening right now? Like, he's actively doing Even Stevens?
You can do a movie and a TV show at the same time.
No, I know, but I just, like, I'm never sure when Even Stevens. It's 2000 to 2002. Okay. So 3 seasons. wild. And then the movie came out in 2003. So it's like right in the like nitty gritty of this. So
big time for Shia.
Yeah.
Well,
that was True Confessions in minute 80 of High School Musical 3 senior year.
Hard to believe that you're still finding DCOMs that I haven't looked at the Wikipedia page for already.
I know. I was so excited when I saw that one because I was like, I bet he won't know this one. And it works in with when the date is, which I just thought was a funny thing.
Yeah, that seems like more of a coincidence, but I'm glad that that worked.
That's what I was looking. I was going through the list looking at the dates, not the titles.
Oh, that's funny.
Until next time, you can find us on Instagram at Amateur Nerds.
And on Tumblr at Wildcat Minute.
You can send us an email to amateurnerdspresent@gmail.com.
Yeah, let us know your favorite 2003 Shia LaBeouf movie. There were a couple to choose from, apparently.
Yeah. But it's Holes, obviously.
Yeah.
Special thanks to our artist, Theo Golden, at TGoldenArt on Instagram.
And our musician, Joe Winslow, whom you can find at joewinslowmusic.com.
I have been Condra.
And I've been Tyler. We'll see you next time to find out for whom the bell tolls. You can bet on it.